When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
It's Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell, and Rod Murray, Group SVP and Head of Commercial Banking at Associated Bank, is with us this morning. Rod, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
Let's talk about monetary policy, since that's on the minds of everybody this week with the FOMC meeting. Let's talk a little bit about where it's headed. Seems to me that the Federal Reserve has given all indications that it's going to be steadily raising rates as we move forward.
It is, and the prediction, I believe, is still, you know, a few next year and then into 2020, and the market's built that in. I think that the key for the Fed is going to continue to be, can they slow the economy enough without crashing? And if that happens, be the first, I think, to ever do it. Powell would be the first one that's done it, at least in my memory.
Let's talk about that again, especially for people who don't follow this very closely. When you say slow the economy, higher interest rates means people are what, spending less, or how does that slow the economy?
Right. So the trick here is that the economy is so fickle, and we love it when it's going great. But if it goes too great, you know, think back to pre-housing crashes, et cetera. It can get out of control a little bit. So they'll control it with as much of their monetary policy on what their comments are, how quickly they increase the rates, what they do with the central bank balance sheet. That's a big piece of it, on how they'll control that overall economy so that we don't have, inflation going crazy and end up on the wrong side of that variable.
Yeah, we've heard over recent months, watching very closely the inflation points, the data points that have been coming out. It feels and looks like inflation is in check. Wasn't as high this last month as it was the month before that. So at least that part of the economy is going well from the Federal Reserve's point of view.
Right. They've always had the target of the 2% number, and they managed to that. But it also has to be done vis-a-vis with what is GDP growth, what is wage growth, and they're monitoring all three of those, you know, numbers very, very closely.
People will also hear us talking about whether or not a person is hawkish or dovish. Give us a sense of what those two mean.
So I think that a dovish comment is an example of, let's talk about things that maybe aren't in the U.S. What's the global economy doing, and how could that affect us? And it's a little bit more of a timid response versus a hawkish is, things are going well, we're going to continue on this path.
Right. And so it seems to me that the Federal Reserve has a hawkish overall point of view.
It certainly has been.
Yeah. So let's talk about the economy moving forward. What's the danger here if we raise interest rates too fast, the economy overheats? There are people that say that there won't be enough in the Fed's arsenal should we need some sort of stimulus after we've raised rates again. Is that a feeling that you've heard or something that you've seen as well?
It is. And the unscientific piece of that is, what is our behavior then as that kind of thing happens as consumers? So as soon as we don't feel good anymore, we start spending differently. And that, on top of, you know, the example that you just gave, you know, could potentially crash the economy.
From your standpoint, from a banking standpoint, do you want interest rates to go higher?
Well, I think that there's still a little bit of room. I mean, certainly, you know, as interest rates go higher, you know, banks are going to make more money on the spread. But as long as it's done in line with the GDP and the inflation number staying where it is, as well as the wage growth, it can be managed and manageable. Now, as obviously as a consumer, I'm on the opposite side of that, but there is still a little bit of room. But from a banking standpoint, you know, the banks make more money, but are we getting it on the savings side then on consumers as well?
All of this conversation comes as we mark the anniversary of the economic collapse, the 2008 financial crisis. Let's switch gears and talk about that for a little bit. Have we fully recovered from that event?
Well, I think that the metrics have fully recovered, but the trust factor is still being built by the general public. So 10 years in, right, that could be a 6-month class on lessons learned from that. But I think that economy is in a stronger place to weather any kind of a storm. You know, on the lessons learned, there were some pretty valuable lessons learned there.
We have been talking, including with you, in our thought leader conversations, about how some regulations have been rolled back, are being rolled back. Has there been anything in those rollbacks that would concern you about protections that are needed after the 2008?
No, nothing at all, in my opinion. At least we still have the protections. The regulations were put in for a reason. You know, pre-08, it was the Fed was running the world or the economy that, hey, we trust you guys to know what you're doing. The 08 crash hit, and they said, all right, we're going to put regulations in to make sure that we're monitoring what you're doing.
Some critics have said that the Congress and leaders have it was a missed opportunity to put in some more stringent protections that could have helped then and may help in the future. Is there anything out there that you would do differently to protect?
No, I think that, you know, what they did was they probably, this pendulum probably swung a little bit too far one way, and it's moved back a little bit. So there's nothing that comes to the top of my head that I would do differently. I think that it's the companies and we and the institutions and the banking and the financial institutions have learned you can't, you know, leverage is a good thing in moderation. You can't have too much leverage. I mean, look at the state of all the leverage of the different financial companies and also our companies. You know, they aren't taking on as much leverage. Liquidity, though, has to be in there, too. It's not just leverage. There's liquidity. You know, I think that the inventories aren't as high, the leverage isn't as high. So if there is some kind of a correction, while there will be some movement, it won't be the devastation that it was in 08, in my opinion.
Back to the trust issue that you mentioned earlier, is it distrust of banks or financial firms in general, or who's that distrust directed at?
Yeah, probably all of the above. Okay. Banks, financial institutions, government, And that's what the reasons that it was put in. And while it's been rolled back a little bit, they're still in place that are definitely monitoring how leveraged a bank can be, how liquid it has to be, and what the capital base needs to be.
Amid this discussion, I've heard many people say that the next crisis may be something completely caused by something completely different, something that perhaps we're not even watching right now.
Right. That's the unknown, that while we can predict or we can try to predict what can and will happen, if something that we aren't even thinking about is catastrophic to the economy, how long will it last? What kind of shape are we in to weather something that's not just a hey, we don't feel great anymore and the numbers move a little bit, but how do we weather any kind of a catastrophic event that could happen?
Yeah, let's just hope none of it happens at all, right?
Right.
Let's talk about something else, Rod. Chase announced that it's closing a bunch of its branches. This is a trend that's been ongoing, but this was a big announcement by Chase. The number is a big number of branches that are closed. What's the trend here?
Sure. So they're following the rest of the banks and across the country on the trend for the most part that you do your analysis. It's a retail play, just like anybody else, whether it's McDonald's or, you know, an apparel retailer. What's your traffic? What kind of money are you making at any particular branch? And with the digital age that we talk about all the time, you know, you look at that very closely and say, where do I need to be? And do I need to have all of the costs with the brick and mortar? So they followed that, and it was in the news because it's Chicago specific. But that being said, closed the branches, and they still gained market share on the deposit side of things.
Yeah.
So it didn't hurt.
Yeah, so the number of branches that were closed, I think, was 22 by Chase. It still has about 322 in the six-county region, so it still has a pretty big chunk of branches.
Still a big chunk. I mean, they, BMO, you know, are the top two for sure in the Chicagoland area, and it's still a very diverse market, though. There's a lot of community banks. There's a lot of regionals like us, like Associated Bank, that are here as players. And not every single one, but almost everybody has taken that approach of trimming its branches. That being said, some of it's positional of, well, I may be closing one here, but I'm opening one up in an area where I don't have a foothold right now, and I need it to, you know, gain some market share.
For a regional bank like Associated, what's the play for you guys? Is there an opening there to get in and take over more of the share, or no?
The opening is not so much from the brick and mortar side. While we have done it, and like some others, that will build in certain select areas, It's the digital channel, and how do you capture that, and how do you spend your money to market that and to keep up with the big four or the big ten, however you want to slice it. That's probably where the opportunity is, because we evaluate just like every other bank what kind of traffic you have in the brick and mortar branch and what kind of profit it puts to the bottom line versus how much is it brand marketing. I mean, there's that piece of it as well.
And how does, with the branches that remain open, whether it's Chase branch or one of your branches, how are they different inside from, let's say, 5 years ago?
So smaller, more of what they would call universal banker type branch, that, a little one-stop shop. So not as much square footage is happening. You don't have as many people, you cross-train somebody that they're able to handle your counter transaction as well as open up your account as well as hopefully consult with you on your mortgage.
Yeah, that obviously is a good deal for real estate. You don't need as much real estate then to have a bank branch. You could find a smaller location.
Right, and that's why you drive. If you drive around, you see a lot of ex-banks that have been turned into whatever, different office space because of that cost, and they're turning. It used to be every building, right? You see some new subdivision, and you know that there's going to be a branch built close to it. Not so much anymore. I mean, it's 2009 peaked on the branches, and ever since then, it's been going down.
I always like when you're here to sort of get your feel for what you're feeling and hearing out there as you talk to folks. What's the general pulse of what you're dealing with?
The companies, the CEOs, CFOs we talk to, it depends on where they are on the spectrum. There's still a feeling that we haven't, we definitely are not swinging back the other way on the economy. The economy is still strong, but there are pockets and folks are being cautious, depending on what the tariff situation will be, how it affects your particular company, how close you are to the consumer. Can you pass on those contracts, escalation clauses in the contracts or not? So there's a lot of things that people are watching within the economy in general, everything that's going on. But still, on the short term, at least, it's still pretty bullish. Now, long term, of course, nobody knows. And I think everybody's preparing themselves for that rainy day. It's just, how much do they want to prepare and when will it happen?
When you say cautious and prepare, what are you talking about specifically about those two things?
Yeah, some of the things that we talked about earlier on just the whole financial crisis is that making sure that you maintain your liquidity, making sure that you aren't leveraging yourself too much. And then they're on the, the other topic we had, what are they doing on the digital side, technology side? Your technology spends are higher and higher and higher to be able to, stay ahead of the competition. Those are the ones that will survive and be the strongest going forward.
In the latest round of quarterly earnings, a lot of the companies talked about their forward guidance, things that they were planning, decisions that they were not making because of that cautiousness, I guess. Is that the same thing happening locally, regionally?
It is, and again, in pockets, there's still some capital spending, and that's what we, of course, as bankers, but we should just in general for the economy like to see, because that spurs so much in terms of jobs, in terms of money being spent. But there's a little bit of trepidation on not wanting to get too far out over your skis on planning for this bullish economy to happen for the next 5 years, like it's happening, looking back for the last 5-10.
Yeah, Rod, summer is over. Pretty soon those skis are going to be snow skis, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's always good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Rod Murray is the Group SVP of Commercial Banking at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, we do it every Thursday right here on The Opening Bell. You can find more on our website at wgnradio.com and at associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership.